Chapter 16, Preference. 209. By applying oneself to things best left alone, and avoiding applying oneself to that which is worthy, one abandons true value. One who seeks pleasure will apply themselves to whatever attachment they are currently drawn to. Note. The text uses the term yoga to indicate union with something. Linking oneself to activities that do not lead to liberation is a waste of time, and who has time to waste? The mind is fickle, and therefore our intention must be strong and clear. 210. Not to see what you like is suffering, as is seeing what you don't like. Therefore, do not get involved with ideas of what you like and what you do not like. 211. Therefore, do not rely on anything as a source of happiness. If the object of happiness is lost, one will feel hurt. Those who do not seek happiness from anything are unfettered. Note. The profound happiness of Nirvana, a happiness arising from contentment, peace, and the absence of longing, is very different from the happiness which arises from momentary contact between a grasping subject and a graspable object. Inner tendencies are unpredictable in their arising and passing, and so are outer events. The likelihood that the perfect object can be maintained close to us and kept available is very small. Everything changes, and gain and loss fluctuate without ceasing. Therefore, seeking happiness in outer objects or in mental objects is not wise. 212. All that we like gives rise to misery. All that we like gives rise to fear. If we can discard all that is liked, then there is neither misery nor fear. Note. It is not the things or people that we like that are the problem. They are not what has to be discarded. Rather, it is our own attachment, investment, and involvement which binds us to an image of the item or person. Although all phenomena are imperfect and impermanent, with our attachment we create our idea of them, ideas that seem to be outside of time. It is this deluded and seemingly enduring pseudo-object which evokes desire, envy, jealousy, hatred, and all the other poisons that are the companions of our chosen sources of happiness. 215. All that is desired gives rise to misery. All that is desired gives rise to fear. If we can discard all that is desired, then there is neither misery nor fear. 216. All that one craves for gives rise to misery. All that one craves for gives rise to fear. If we can discard all that is craved for, then there is neither misery nor fear. 217. Those who are perfect in morality and in view, abiding in Dharma, speaking truthfully and performing the tasks ascribed to them, such beings make others happy. 218. One in whom a longing for the ineffable has arisen, whose mind is clear and turned away from involvement in desire, is known as one bound upstream. Note. Like a salmon swimming up a rapid river, the one bound upstream goes against the current of samsara and the ignorance and habitual tendencies that maintain it. Their goal lies elsewhere, in the peace of nirvana, and with the stability of their focused intention, they will not do anything that will bring about a return to samsara. 219. When one who has been travelling for a long time returns home, they are greeted with happiness by their family and intimate friends who rejoice to see them. 220. Similarly, when someone who has generated merit goes from this world to the next, their merit will be waiting to welcome them just as relatives welcome home a loved one.